Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for Dungeon Masters to work out their minds. I am DM Main Prize, and I am joined today by...
DM Neil, a.k.a. Jump Maniac, and...
DM Jam Perkins, a guy who writes things sometimes.
Awesome.
This DMnastics episode is going to tie into the Dungeon Masters block, episode number 49, Commoner Catastrophe, which you may remember, the lovely Jam Perkins was the guest on that as well. So we wrangled him back in to get more of his glorious insights about commoners and all things common.
Yeah, and also as many cat references as I can squeeze in.
Yes!
Like, how many, like, will they be happening right meow?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you started this.
I did.
Okay, so the DMnastics off the forums that this is attached to was number 37, Anything But Common. In this DMnastics challenge, we had created the world of Deyaimbe. We had created a town within Deyaimbe. And then we kind of polled our forum users to see what building they would like to inhabit with commoners. And they obviously chose a tavern because it's a great place to hang out. And so we're going to highlight some of the ideas that users posted on the forums as commoners who would be in this tavern.
Although I feel like we should address something that the three of us have talked about before now. Collectively, there's a lot of amazing beard going on. As you know, DM Main Prize used the term lovely, so you should automatically infer that J.M. Perkins has a wonderful beard. And we have decided to call ourselves the Beard Force. It's like the Triforce, but with beards. Right. So I think the three of us need to establish who is which piece of the Triforce. The Beard Force.
And just for your listeners at home that don't know, of course, there is famously a Triforce of Courage, a Triforce of Wisdom, and a Triforce of Power. So one of us would conceivably have the Beard of Wisdom, one the Beard of Power, and one the Beard of Courage.
I think whoever has been DMing longest should have the Beard of Wisdom. That's my gut instinct.
Okay. I'm probably going to lose on that. I've only been GMing for about 5 years.
Ooh, okay. Man. So I guess... Joe Moniak, DM Neil,
yep.
You're going to be the Beard Force of Wisdom.
Yes, and now that I have a toddler, I've been putting as much gray as I can into it, so I will willingly accept the Beard of Wisdom.
So now it comes to the Beard of Power and the Beard of Courage. Now, I think that as far as power rankings would go, J.M. Perkins outclasses me in not only his DMing power, but also his writing power and his power over the common man. So I think I'm going to have to yield to him the Beard Force of Power.
I think it's good.
I will accept that. However, I will point out that the Beard of Power tends to be the one that goes evil. It's like Ganon's beard. So yeah, that seems to fit.
Uh-oh. That's awesome.
All right, fair enough. Beard Force of Power.
Done. And I think that Main Prize fits the Beard of Courage. I mean, he was the hype man for Conquer the Gauntlet. If you don't know what that is, you should go Google it right now.
That's true. It took a lot of courage to get in front of, 3,000 people multiple weekends in a row and try and convince them to go torture their own bodies on an obstacle course race. So, yes, I'll take that. Beard Force of Courage.
I will Google it right now and stop paying attention to both of you.
No, don't be, not you, just the listeners Google it.
Okay. Fair. Remember, I'm not the Beard Force of Wisdom. I'm the Beard Force of Power. So I'm just going to go do it.
Yep. See, he knew
the wisdom not to do it.
He knew he could go get more power by conquering the gauntlet. So
he's channeling his barbarian.
So one thing is that there was a poll in the DMnastics as to what we should name the tavern that these commoners would fill. So there were a lot of awesome ideas that were tossed out. And the one that took the most votes was Restless Knights Inn. Like K-N-I-G-H, whatever.
Right, Knights, but the K is silent.
Yes, Knights Inn, but the K is silent, but the K also fell off. So it's like, is it Restless Knights that want to go adventure, or is it Restless Knights because you're always adventuring, yada yada. So fun play on words.
So the first idea, the first commoner we want to kind of highlight from the forums was created by the user Kirklass164. Which I can't help think, but maybe that's like the girlfriend of James T. Kirk. That's Kirk's lass. Maybe not, just a guess. But the commoner he created was Hargo Slipshod. And he says, my commoner is Hargo Slipshod, an old gnomish spelunker who has retired to Tower Town as a climbing instructor. He used to tag along with some adventuring parties when they would delve to the dangerous depths as a guide. As a result, he's a very cunning old gnome. This is awesome. It instantly brings ideas to me of like an old Bruce Wayne who is like getting his gear because he's going, quote unquote, spelunking, but really he's actually an adventurer himself. So I love the idea of a spelunking gnome. It's just great. And he says he doesn't drink much, and he's able to size up strangers pretty quickly without giving away very much information about himself. And he says he kind of would talk and act like an ex-cop. So I feel like with just that alone, you can really visualize how to maybe bring this NPC into your world and kind of play with him. He's average gnomish height. You know, he's got all the gnome traits, the ornamental beard. He's got yellow colored eyes. So yeah, this guy's pretty awesome.
I like that you went with Batman. My immediate thought was, and it's harder to find, but there's a Will Ferrell skit that is on his best of where he
Gus
plays
chickens.
Yes, Gus chickens. And if you don't know what that is, even more so than Conquer the Gauntlet, after you do that, you need to go check out what Gus Chicken is. And that's what I thought of. Yours is much cooler. But
anytime I hear the word spelunking ever since The Dark Knight, I was just like, oh, Bruce Wayne, spelunking.
So as a GM, if you're going to run this guy, you have two options. You either make him Batman as a gnome, or you do the most stereotypical prospector voice you possibly can.
Yes.
There's no middle ground.
I'd be more afraid of coyotes if I was your...
and if you're not sure what a prospector sounds like, Toy Story 2, Prospector Pete. Maybe this gnome also farts a lot.
Yeah, panning for copper coins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing is, like, essentially with the ex-adventurer, you can easily have him know of places to drop hints to the players, depending on what kind of setup you have. You could have different locations to just drop, like, oh, there's this dungeon I used to go to all the time, or this mine, or anything you want. Essentially, as long as it's underground, he probably knows about it.
Yeah, you could definitely even straight up probably say that this guy knows the underground caves and networks in like the surrounding 5 miles really well. So he could definitely, you know, give your players guidance. And maybe for enough coin or enough, you know, charm, he might be able to be dragged along on some kind of crazy adventure.
So for the next one, it's from DM Genesis Echt, and they named their commoner Kraus.
Weindernvel.
Weindernvel. Yeah, I want to almost make the W into a V. So Weindernvel, and it's a grizzled old dwarf, so...
The name needs more umlauts.
Yes. Every vowel in here needs something above it for this to work out. Even just the fact that it's a grizzled old dwarf, I immediately think that these two don't get along. Like, there's no feasible way that it's going to happen.
Right.
So he's completely bald, but has a long, well-kept beard.
I like him already.
I would say, I assume that's the fate for all of us. And Kraus bears many scars and noticeably is missing an eye. His body is sinewy, but suggests old muscles. He has a gruff personality, but is quite prone to flattery. He is also the tavern chef.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's no way these two get along. Or it's that hilarious bickering. I know that those are my favorite places to go. Restaurants that are family owned and they constantly fight with each other. Essentially, it's a meal and a show every time you go. So I think that would probably be how I would play these two working together. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I buy that. They don't get along well.
You could almost make a case that the scars and the missing eye or because he used to be an adventurer that Hargo took out into a cave and things didn't go so well. And so then he had to retire from adventuring and is now a chef. And so they really don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought for some reason that instead of the scars and the missing eye being from adventuring, it's just that he's a really bad cook. But again, after the Gus Chickens thing, I don't know that I can make anyone an adventurer right now.
Well, I have a different way you can play him. So he's a really good cook, but he's constantly serving monster. Mm. He'll actually pay adventurers to bring him back interesting cuts of monster that he can serve up. So if you want to eat owlbear, he's your man. Or if you've ever wondered what roast displacer beast tastes like, he has cooked it before.
That's awesome.
He's an experimental chef.
Yeah.
The cockatrice omelet.
Yeah, exactly. It's the fantasy equivalent of like gastrochemistry, that weird stuff where they make foam taste like bacon. But yeah, but rather than do that, he just cooks really exotic meats.
Wait. There's a foam that tastes like bacon.
Oh, there's this whole hipster thing where... Yeah, I'll send you some links.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
If you go to a restaurant and you hear someone shouting "science" from the kitchen, then it's probably the right place.
It's very true. That's exactly how it was.
I like that idea, and now that I'm thinking about it, what if he had cantrips almost that he could add so that he could actually cook these crazy monsters and, you know, and do the gastrochemistry like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't take much for, depending on the rule set you're playing, it wouldn't take much for him to have cantrips. And of course, you can just, you're the GM, so you're in charge of everything. But yeah, just some simple cantrips that allows him to cook some things and work with really dangerous corpses, but make a very, very tasty meals.
I'm trying to think of what the fantasy equivalent would be for blowfish sushi.
Blowfish sushi. Basilisk. With basilisk, yes. Something or other.
Uh-oh.
Basilisk burgers.
Basilisk sashimi.
Oh, jeez. I like it. Okay, so for this next one, as we typically do, we will be doing some on-the-spot lifting, and we've got two spotters now, so... I feel like we are set
what we can
for...
lift has really, like, that weight cap has really increased today.
It's yes. True.
We brought in the beard force of power.
It's true.
Done. We're unstoppable now. Unstoppable.
Okay, guys. So for the chosen three idea, we're gonna spitball and create one on our own, as is our custom here. We're gonna get under the weights and do a little heavy lifting of our own. And for that, we're gonna turn directly to the beard force of power, JM, and he's gonna kind of take us away on that adventure.
Okay, so my idea is that, well, I think we should have a female commoner because we already have several male commoners, but also we are the beard force, so it should be a female commoner with a beard.
Yes.
And why would a female character have a beard? Well, that's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked myself. It's because of a magical mishap. You could do like the female dwarf that has beards like Tolkien, but I like the idea of a magical mishap. So I'm thinking half-elf dropout of the magical school that had a magical mishap, and she has a beard now. And of course, she's a commoner, so that's why she didn't do so good.
Well, I mean, that's awesome, especially because giving the commoner a little bit of power is the best way to make them have that flavor, and especially if you have a half-elf with a beard. And it has to also be such a mishap that it makes me think of the first Santa Claus movie with Tim Allen, where he's like, no, 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 and shaves it off, and it immediately comes back onto his face. I imagine that she went through months of that, like, no, and then it just keeps immediately growing back.
Right. Totally. But is the beard, is it just an ordinary beard, or is it made out of something weird?
Ooh. I think it should still be hair, but I think it should be an interesting color.
Okay.
Main prize, any thoughts on the color?
I like blue, but I'm not opposed to green.
What color is Hargo's beard?
Hargo's beard is
blue.
I think his was actually blue, yeah.
So should it be like orange? So they've got like the modern movie colors covered?
Yes, and since the Broncos won the Super Bowl, it's only fitting.
Yeah.
Done. Done and done. What should we name her?
I think she should have a single name like Cher, but not Cher, for copyright reasons.
So Beyonce.
What about Lorelai, Lorini?
I like it.
Lorini is good to me. Lorelai reminds me of the Styx song, so I think Lorini will keep me from having 80s hairband music playing in my head for the rest of the night.
Done. So then what were you thinking that she would do inside the bar?
So she failed out of wizarding school, but she certainly has to do something to provide for herself as a commoner. So what is she involved in?
I always liked the idea of dumpster diving outside of the Hogwarts, right? Because you know those kids are making all kinds of magical stuff that doesn't work, and I don't think they dispose of it very well, or at least that's interesting to me. So I like the idea of her dumpster diving at her former school and just finding whatever kind of failed items she can, which she, you know, try to fix, although, because she's not very good at it, most of the time she just makes them be weirder. And then she sells these things, usually to gullible adventure.
Yes. Well, it's a magic item. I mean, it's got to be worth it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't serve your end game, you can still sell it to someone else for a lot of gold.
Eh. All right. So what would be the magical items that she's selling that she has on offer for adventurers?
They have to sound good, but then not really be that great.
I'm thinking maybe a potion that is like, and she sells it off as like an invisibility potion, but it only makes like either the top half or the bottom half of your body invisible. So you're still either like a pair of legs or just like a floating torso walking around.
Or for Guir, it just makes your skin invisible.
Yes. Yes. So it's just like organs and bones moving about in space.
Which not only is not what people expect, but actually kind of be useful, right? Like, it would be terrifying to see a person like that moving around.
Oh, yeah. And you might even be able to blend in with some undead folk.
Right, exactly.
That'd be such a cool thing to... I mean, it would be a lot of work, but it would be a really cool thing to take the items that she has and make them have effects that don't fit. Like the potion of kinda invisibility. It gives you advantage on intimidation checks because you are super scary. But you originally bought it because you thought you would be able to be invisible somewhere.
Okay, so what about a potion of heal emotional wounds where you come to grips with your past in some way? So actually, if you feed it to an enemy, they're a lot easier to talk down from being the terrible villain because they kind of heal from the, from the things in their past.
That's awesome.
Man, if only Han gave one to Kylo.
Right, right. Totally could have changed that scene. All he needed to do was go see the bearded half-elf, Lorini, like Cher, but not, in the bar in Tower Town, the...
The Restless Knights.
Restless Knights Inn, yes. If he had just gone there, everything would be fine. I also like the idea that she's like a major sweetheart, but she's actually a half-drow or drow. How do you pronounce it? Drow or drow?
Yes.
Okay. But of course, if anyone asks about her skin pigmentation, she always says that was part of a magical mishap too.
Mm.
But other items she can have. I really kind of want to give her like some great stuff.
Yes. We got to think of an awesome ring. I think a ring of not hungry. So it's not really a ring of sustenance. You're just like, you're not really that hungry. You're not going to die, but it's not great. Like, you're just still having a real bad time.
Could we call it the ring of I could eat?
Yes, done. The ring of I could eat. I like it.
I could eat. And you do that little shrug.
I could eat.
I could eat.
I just like it being like a nervous twitch that you're like, are you hungry? I could eat. Stop it. Yeah. Stop asking me, please.
Yes, and you face a terrible mental compulsion to answer that exactly that way anytime someone asks.
I was thinking of a ring of extend finger where you whatever finger you put it on like grows by like a certain amount of inches, like 1d4 inches, and then like you get maybe like a +2 to dexterity stuff there, like sleight of hand, but you have like an extended creepy finger that also makes people uncomfortable, and you get like a -2 to charisma.
I like the idea of it growing 1d4 inches every round until you take it off and it's permanent.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
Yeah. There should be some nightmarish items in her bag.
It's kind of like a Pinocchio thing, but it's for your hand.
Right.
And then you use salad fingers.
It immediately made me think of the Finglonger from Futurama.
Also, could she talk like a female professor? Good news, everyone.
Yes, but it's like not off-putting. Like it comes across as really genuine and sweet. You're just like, oh, there's Lorini again.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
A wand of create wand. I stole this from somebody's magic item chart, but it's basically a wand that has a single charge of create wand. And if you cast it, it will create a wand with a single charge of create wand.
Hey, we need some firewood. I'm on it. Cool. Well, is there anything else we could think of to add to this commoner?
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Also, a wand of disarming. It makes your arm fall off. You're still totally fine. Like, you can still move your arm and things. It just falls off.
That's awesome.
And you, whenever it happens, you just have to shrug and go, just a flesh wound.
The other one, mainly because you're here, JAM, is that we need a wand of create cats.
Yes.
No, it needs to be teleport cat. It's not going to add another cat to the world. It's merely taking a cat from somewhere else in the world and bringing it to you.
Right. From the plane of cats.
Which means there may be a plot hook where your adventurers have to get this wand of teleport cat and take it to the crazy cat lady so that she can get all the cats in the world to be with her.
I like this. I like this.
I'm scared of this.
Well, I mean, JM did mention the plane of cats, and that is probably the most terrifying thing I've ever heard of.
The plane of cats.
It's really quite scary to think about.
Yeah, all the dander.
Mountains of, like, balls of yarn.
Well, it's one of the heavens, right? There's, like, cat heaven.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely like Elysium.
Right.
Definitely the same, I'm sure of it. Awesome. Now that we have done our obligatory cat conversation, if people wanted to hear more about cats from you, J.M. Perkins, where would they go?
Well, they would just do a Wikipedia search for cats, because I've written all of them. No, I actually don't write that much about cats, surprisingly. But yeah, you can find me on the interwebs. I write about my custom setting, the City of Salt and Wounds, on saltandwoundsetting.com. And I recently started writing for the website Tribality again. I'm doing a column there called System Agnostic, where I just kind of make stuff up. And yeah, also, the thing that does mention cats, actually it doesn't mention cats at all, is the Adequate Commoner. Except about how, if you follow the advice in the book, you will make commoners that are better than house cats.
Awesome. And definitely go check that out. It is super cool. I personally enjoyed it a ton. So.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you guys want to get involved in these challenges, we implore you, the listeners, to join the forums and take part in these challenges and exercises so that we can one day bring your brilliant ideas and talk about them on DMnastics with killer, amazing Beard Force hosts like J.M. Perkins.
Yeah. In order to get involved, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ever ask you, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.